Friday. Jesus has been betrayed by Judas and arrested by an armed mob sent by the chief priests. Jesus' disciples have deserted him, and Simon Peter has denied all knowledge of him. Jesus has faced a show trial. The crowds have shouted, "Crucify him!" And he's been beaten and whipped and abused. Then, before many witnesses, he's been forced to carry his own cross to the place of the skull. Roman soldiers, ruthless executioners, nail him to a cross. Standing there watching and grieving are Mary, his mother, and two close friends of Jesus, Mary Magdalene and John. 6 agonizing hours later, Jesus is dead.
Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath, because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath. They asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water.
That's right. 2 thieves plus this one, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.
Okay then, tell me, why do they have to break their legs?
Well, that's to stop them being able to push up and gulp some air in.
Huh. This Jesus, we didn't need to break his legs. He was dead already, wasn't he?
No, he's definitely dead.
Is he dead?
No doubt about it.
John, also known as the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Thank you, John. Occupation?
Fisherman, disciple, author.
Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I promise, so help me God.
I will today be examining your evidence concerning the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. I need, first of all, to establish your credentials as an eyewitness of these events. So when did you first meet Jesus, and how well did you know him?
I have known Jesus all my life. You see, his mother, Mary, and my mother, Salome, are sisters. But our friendship deepened when Jesus called me and my brother James to leave our fishing business and become his disciples. I have heard him teach. I've witnessed the healings and the miracles. We've been really close these last 3 years.
So what exactly did Jesus say about his death and resurrection?
I remember him saying that he would die and on the third day rise again. But we never took much notice of it at the time. I stood at the cross with Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene. All the others had ran off, and I watched Jesus die. A terrible, terrible death. His final words were, "It is finished." His mission accomplished. Jesus died. When the soldiers came to break his legs, they realized that he was already dead. So they didn't touch his legs. Instead, one of them plunged a spear into Jesus' side, and sure enough, the blood was already separating, and a watery fluid poured out alongside the blood, and he was dead all right.
Is there some significance in all this?
Well, just that It is a direct fulfillment of Scripture. Not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one they have pierced. Yes, Jesus, my master, is definitely dead.
Thank you for your eyewitness testimony. Court be upstanding.
The curtain gets ripped in two from top to bottom. And the centurion who has presided at the crucifixion of Jesus declares, "Surely this man was the Son of God." As evening approaches, there's a surprising development. Joseph of Arimathea, a senior member of the Sanhedrin, goes to the governor, Pilate, to request the body of Jesus.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked him for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, saw where he was laid.
I'm Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea.
And I'm Nicodemus. You may remember that I'm the one who asked for a secret meeting with Jesus at night.
Now you're probably wondering why we asked to do the burial of Jesus. After all, we're both members of the Jewish ruling class.
The fact is, we've both been secret followers of Jesus, both convinced that he's the Son of God, both born-again believers.
It's an impossible situation we've been in. We certainly did not agree with the Sanhedrin's decision to condemn Jesus. The least I could do was to bury Jesus in the garden tomb I'd made for myself.
And I brought the myrrh and linen to prepare Jesus' body for burial. We've had a huge stone rolled across the tomb now so that no one can interfere with his body. At least he's had a decent burial.
John, the record that was just read to us now in court was by the gospel writer Mark. He says nothing about Nicodemus helping with the burial, yet your written account clearly states that Joseph and Nicodemus placed the body in the tomb. Isn't there some discrepancy in these stories?
Your Honour, Mark's gospel is, if you like, the first edition.
It's today's
breaking news, containing a bare outline of what happened. Having researched this very carefully, I can assure you that both men were present. It is the gospel truth.
Tell me then, who witnessed this burial? And would you say that they are reliable witnesses?
I can give you the names, Your Honour. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. As to them being reliable, well, they are women.
Indeed. I understand your meaning. We do know that a woman's testimony in a Jewish court is practically worthless. You, however, testify that Jesus is not only dead, but buried and secretly seated in a tomb.
I most certainly do.
It's now Sunday. At the break of day, Mary Magdalene and a few of her friends prepare to visit the burial place. As she hurries to anoint the body of her Lord with spices, she has no idea that this day of overwhelming grief will turn into a day of unimaginable joy. For the present, her only worry is, how will I persuade the soldiers on guard to let me anywhere near the place? And how will I roll the stone back from the tomb? Mary Magdalene and her friends have the biggest shock when they discover that the stone has been rolled away from the tomb. Rather than investigate themselves, they summon Peter and John, who come running to see. The body of Jesus has gone, but the grave clothes are untouched. Mary is desperate to know where the body has been taken. The meeting that follows, Mary Magdalene's meeting with the risen Jesus, is one of the most moving and memorable stories of all time.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying.
Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
My name is Mary, Mary Magdalene. I was a disciple of Jesus too. Yes, me, a woman. Does that surprise you? I was a faithful disciple, not running away like most of the men. No, I was standing there, watching to the bitter end. How did I come to follow Jesus? I'll tell you. I'd been tormented by evil spirits for years, and one day, Jesus came to my village, and he set me free. He healed me, liberated me. I was so grateful that I left everything behind and I followed Jesus. I went everywhere with him and the men. And together with a few other women, I provided for him. I was one of his most faithful followers. I loved Jesus, revered him. I was devoted to him. He was my master and my friend. And so when they crucified Jesus, I was there, standing at the cross with him as he died. You don't abandon someone who loves you and who's forgiven you and healed you like Jesus has me. Oh, no. So when he called my name, Mary, there in the garden, I just knew it was Jesus. It's true, he really is alive. I've seen him with my own eyes. I'm the first to meet the risen Lord, Jesus, and he's entrusted me with the responsibility of passing this news to the men, to Peter, who denied him, to John, to Joseph, to Nicodemus, the secret disciples, an unlikely bunch of witnesses we are. All I can say is, this is the most credible, incredible, honest to God, incontrovertible gospel truth reality. It's true. Jesus is alive.
So, Apostle John, you were there on that occasion too. You seemed to turn up all over the place.
Peter and I were hiding in Jerusalem when Mary Magdalene came rushing back to tell us that the stone had been rolled back from the tomb. We both ran to the tomb. I got there first, a bit fitter than Peter. I glanced in and saw that the body of Jesus was gone. And Peter arrives and barges straight in.
So what exactly did you two see?
Well, just as I have written, strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head, and the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen.
Thank you. Very precise. I too have read your gospel. You write that you saw and believed. Believed what exactly?
That this Jesus is risen from the dead and that he is alive.
That resurrection day and over the following weeks, Jesus appeared on many different occasions. Sometimes to individuals, sometimes to groups of people. His appearance to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee is one of those all-time great stories. Peter, the activist, the impulsive one, decides that it's time to get back to fishing. James and John, Thomas, and a few others join him on a fishing trip. That night, writes John, they caught nothing.
Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
You've guessed it. I'm Simon Peter. Call me Pete if you like. I'm the one who boasted that I would die with Jesus if it came to it. And then I legged it when they arrested him. What was worse was denying I even knew Jesus. And to a girl. So there we are, back on the boats, doing what we do best, catching fish. Except this time, we don't catch a thing. This guy on the beach calls out to us, and I recognize his voice. It's the boss. It's Jesus. I jump in, swim to the shore, while the rest moor the boat and join us. Jesus made a fire, and we grilled some of our catch for breakfast. After we've all eaten, Jesus included, he confronts me about the denial thing and the rooster. You know what I mean? I tell you, I was broken apart by that. He keeps asking me how much I love him. "Lord, you know everything," I say. "You know I love you." It's then that Jesus forgives me and welcomes me back. And he gives me the job of pastor and leader. What an amazing boss he is.
John, I know that you are present on that occasion too. You witnessed Jesus dealing with Peter. Do you wish to submit any further evidence?
Your Honour, I simply wish to quote from my gospel. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. All this happened. I was there. I know it's the truth and nothing but the truth. Jesus is alive today.
John, thank you for your eyewitness testimony. Well, let us all consider the evidence.
Well, I think our actors and musicians need a great round of applause. So the jury is out. You must decide. Did Jesus rise from the dead? In 2022, a major survey was conducted among 4,000 UK adults. The survey by UK research company Savanta ComRes asked people their view of Jesus, Christians, and evangelism. This was a major national survey. The response to the question, "Do you believe in the resurrection?" is astonishing. Wait for it. 45% of the population are willing to tick the box saying they believe in the resurrection. 41% say they don't believe, and 14% say they don't know. Only 41% clearly don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I find that extraordinary in an age where faith is supposed to be dying and where science could have disproved such things as resurrection, still 45% of the population believe Jesus rose from the dead. We've spent the last hour listening to the witnesses, people who testify to the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he's alive forevermore. These stories, these eyewitness accounts, speak for themselves. They tell of people whose lives were transformed by an encounter with the risen Jesus. The story of Mary Magdalene, the very first eyewitness, always has an impact on me. In fact, I usually cry when I hear it. At first, she mistakes Jesus for the gardener, but when he speaks her name, Mary, she recognizes his voice. She realizes this is Jesus. And it's the same for you and me. Jesus calls us by name. He knows everything about you. He knows everything. He knows your name. His call is a personal one. And as with Mary, he's ready to forgive you, to accept you, whatever your story. Your life too can be transformed by Jesus. The Easter story has changed the lives of many, many people all over the world. And there are lots of us in this church today whose lives have been forever changed by the love of Jesus, including those of us who've had a part in this presentation. Ask any of those who've spoken this morning, and many of them will say that their stories are almost mirrored by the stories of the characters they've played. There's something quite extraordinary about that. We believe that Jesus is alive today, that we can know him, that we can experience his love. We've put our faith in all that Jesus has achieved by his death and resurrection. Paul wrote to the people in Rome just 25 years after the first Easter, And he said this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God wants you and me to experience his saving love. Jesus is very much alive, and he offers you new life, fullness of life, eternal life today. Can I invite you to take him up on his offer? You'll find it's the start of a life-changing relationship with the living Lord Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer in a moment. It's a prayer which can be a personal response to the resurrection story, to the Easter story. I believe that the message of the cross demands a response. And so here's a prayer where we can say yes to Jesus. It's a sorry, please, and thank you prayer. And it's a prayer that all of us can pray as a way of inviting Jesus into our lives, as a way of saying yes to Jesus, as a way of knowing his forgiveness and his love in our lives this day. We finish hearing from the witnesses, and we reach a verdict. Why don't you speak out these words after me and say yes to Jesus this Easter? Let's pray. You may want to repeat these words after me. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you came into this world to give your life on the cross. You took the punishment for my sin. You gave your life for me. Your death gives me life. I am sorry for my sins. I now turn from everything I know to be wrong. I ask you, risen Lord Jesus, to come into my life as my Saviour and Lord and friend. Thank you for your free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the dead and you are alive forevermore. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. And again, hallelujah, Jesus is alive.